Truth School. Please turn in your packets to the last two pages. The last two pages. There should be two lists. One is the table of contents, and then the other one is specific to the session titles and corresponding chapter in lesson book. Do you see those two lists? Okay. To the left, the table of contents, that is referring again to this book, the lesson book. To the lesson book. For those of you who are not that familiar, maybe you're serving with us for the first time, these lesson books, every one of them has 24 lessons. 24 lessons. And the six levels of the Truth School are salvation. The first one is salvation, God's full salvation. The second one is the triune God and the person and work of Christ. The third one is the two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit. Level four is life, right? The knowledge or knowing and experiencing life. Knowing and experiencing life. The topic five is the church. The church, right? The vision, what is it? The vision and the building of the church. That's what we covered last year. And then level six is the Bible. Level six is the Bible. Now, let me just continue with this. So on the left here, you have the 24 lesson titles. On the right, you have the outline titles. The outlines, you have not received outlines. What you've received in here are some summaries of those 12 outlines. So you don't have yet the actual outlines. But what we've done, because of the time, we don't have 24 sessions. We have combined some of the lessons. And actually, you'll see one lesson, we actually expanded into three. According to the need, what we feel is the need of our young people. And so we have, and that's the last page, these 12, here it's 14, used to be 12, 14 lesson titles or outline titles. And this afternoon, we'll go through those summaries and show you what the key burden is in each outline. That's what those summaries are trying to do, to help us focus our preparation. And so we'll make references to these two pages later on, okay? What we want to do in this session is cover our page three, which is the outline entitled Session 2. This is a somewhat overall view. A lot of this is incorporated, I think, into outline number one. These points will be incorporated into outline number one. But what this is trying to do, this outline, which we'll go through rather quickly, but have more fellowship of burden in this hour, is to show what really is our underlying burden this year. You know, in the teacher's training, Brother Lee encouraged the serving saints. You'll see this in the very last page. He encouraged the serving saints to come together. This is what he says. I would encourage you to prepare. This is the last paragraph of the book. I would encourage you to prepare not only by yourself, but with others who will be teaching the young people. Come together with several others and check every point of every lesson according to experience. Check every point of every lesson according to experience. In addition, practice converting the doctrinal points into experience. Practice. Today will be our first practice. But this does not suffice. We all have to practice. Once we know Once we know, according to what I just showed you, you'll have the lesson titles, and you'll have the you'll be able to match the outline with the book. So you'll be able to go back and read and know the outline and the book. Once you have that, once you know the lesson, you know the doctrine. Now you have to practice to convert doctrine to experience. But Brother Lee says, check every point of every lesson according to experience. Practice converting the doctrinal points into experience. This will be a good preparation for teaching in an experiential way. If you do this, the summer school will be a great benefit, not only to the young people, but to the entire church. So that means in the summer school, it's a benefit to the young people. When they go back, it's a benefit to the whole church. Why? Well, firstly, because it helps the young people, and then they go back and they're in the church life. But a second way it helps is that we learn how to handle the Bible in a way of experience. So that whenever we share in a church meeting or in fellowship with someone, whether it's a group meeting, home meeting, or personal fellowship, we are practicing converting doctrine to experience. And we're practicing ministering the word to people. That becomes a benefit to the whole church. Even our prophesying meetings will be benefited, will be uplifted by this kind of exercise. The last sentence, let us take this way to teach the young people in the summer school of truth. Okay, so we want to practice this according to Brother Lee's encouragement, come together to consider these points. And when we do this, and also practicing or putting into practice what we shared in the earlier session, knowing the condition of the young people, right? We want to put this together. You know, whenever you're going to minister or the word, or just sometimes when we say minister the word, you think to podium, like from the front. That's not what I mean. Whenever you're going to share the word with someone, share the word. Even if it's just the gospel, even at the level of the gospel with an unbeliever, or with a new believer, or with young people in your young people's meeting. You have the word on this side, so you have the Bible. So you're trying to get this truth, which conveys God, into this person. Right, so it passed through a process. It has to pass through us. We're not just reading things to people. We're ministering something to them from within us to them. Okay. In order to do that effectively, you have to study at least three things. First, you have to study the Bible. This is our cargo. These are our assets, right? This is our capital, right? Everything starts with the Bible. So you have to study the Bible. Of course, we have helps to study the Bible. Our helps, the first help is actually the recovery version with the outline, with cross-references, with notes, footnotes. That's a good help. We have life study messages. And we have myriads of books that help us. And one of the books is the lesson book to help us with these, to develop those verses. Okay. Then even these lessons, for example, this page here, there are quoted portions. And this tells you the source, the book, that those excerpts come from. Most of these paragraphs in the lesson book are actually excerpts from ministry. It's not an original writing. The brothers just took from many different sources, put together to be one message. Okay, here you have those quoted portions and further references. Those are all further readings that we could do to get more. Okay, that's the first step, study. Yeah, study the Bible. But we also have to study the age. We have to know the age. The Bible says in Romans 13, knowing the times. And knowing the times. We have to understand where we are in history. And that is our past history and why we need recovery. Why do we need the recovery of the Bible? Because so much has been lost. But also where we stand in relation to the end of the age. It says in Timothy, 2 Timothy, you know, we have this verse on the board from 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. But if you read from verse 1, it says, in the last days, difficult times will come. And you read that, what's there in the last days, you just feel like you're reading like a news report of the current time. We are in those last days that were prophesied in 2 Timothy. So many things apply. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 2, talks about an age that will be characterized by lawlessness. And the one who restrains moves out of the way so that lawlessness prevails until the day when the man of lawlessness is revealed. Well, when you study the age, when you study the prophecies, you realize we are in those times. What we read in 2 Thessalonians is actually in front of us. The one who restrains started moving out of the way already. And lawlessness is more prevailing than ever, even in such a quote-unquote Christian nation, supposedly Christian nation. A nation like this, based on, founded on, built on religious freedoms. How could such a nation be like this today? That's because the man, the one who restrains is moving out of the way. And lawlessness is just pervading. And it will become worse as the age progresses. Don't expect things to be better. So that's where we are today. It seems like the man of lawlessness may be revealed tomorrow. It could be. Any time this man of lawlessness could be revealed. That's where we are. So we have to understand where we are in history. And we have to understand the nature of this age. What are the things, the factors our young people are facing? And we know that in the particular climate that we're in right now, some big things that are in front of our young people they cannot get away from is the whole matter of gay rights, LGBTQ plus whatever. I just got another email from a young mother from this area, from the Northeast, in her child's school, how things are being promoted. How do you navigate through? These are uncharted waters for us. And everyone is wondering, not just among us, Christians are wondering, how do you navigate through these kind of waters? We've never experienced this before in America. And so this is something you can't escape. Our preschoolers face it. Our preschoolers are facing. So how much more junior highers, middle schoolers, and college students? I mean, high schoolers. And I'm very concerned about our college students. I'm so happy. We need to encourage all the college students, come and serve. Amen. We'll find a place for them somehow. Why? Because they face this every day, these kind of things, these kind of choices. And because of the climate, questionings about the faith. Did God really say that? Does the Bible really, does it, I know it says that, but does it mean that? Yeah, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. People will say, have you not heard that? Yeah, that's the Old Testament. That's the, then, well, that was from then. That's 2,000 years ago when you say, no, but it's in the New Testament. Oh, but, you know, the times were different then. And the kind of influences. We have to realize these are the things that are confronting our next generation. So the people that will be sitting in these chairs in August are how has their thinking been shaped by the trends of the age? And you have to realize we're not serving here in a vacuum, that we're just here and we preach the Bible and then we expect everyone to say amen, memorize the verses, then go home. That doesn't work that way. Well, it never actually worked that way. It's just that we have to know today's age. And no wonder it says in Romans 12, right, about the, present your bodies, a living sacrifice. And it says, and do not be fashioned according to this age. Fashioned. Do not be sculpted. Do not be shaped according to this age. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of the mind. The battles that we are facing today are so intensified in the minds of our next generation. It's the minds that we're concerned about. Of course, yes, there are many things that can damage the body. There are many, many things that can damage the body. But actually, if the priorities, if the value system is preserved in the mind, then the body will also be preserved. The soul is really the main thing. The mind, the concepts that are already infused into our next generation. That's what we're confronting when we speak God's word. So we have to know the age. We have to know the Bible. We have to know the age. Then we have to know the people. We have to know these people, these young people that are in our hands for those 10 days or in our localities. We have to know them. We have to know their situation. We have to know their background. We have to know what brings them down. We have to know what makes them happy. We have to know them. We have to know our children, our young people, so that we can know how to reach them, how to help them. Okay, that's somewhat in general. Now, concerning this year's True School. Well, I started to share a little bit in the first session. This year is on the Bible. Actually, the battle that we're fighting is, in a sense, just this. Do you believe the Bible? And do you agree with the Bible? All the things, all the so-called issues, all the issues are things that are contrary to the Word of God. Those issues that we're talking about, they're just contrary to the Word. If you are a person that stands with the Word of God, actually a great part of the battle's already done. That you just agree with the Word. Now, you may agree with the Word and still wonder, but how do I navigate in society today? Okay, that's a good question. Then we can talk about that. But the basic thing is, does that young person, does that 17-year-old, even does that 23-year-old, so I'm burdened for our college students and young working saints, do you agree 100% with God's word? Some people agree 99.95% with God's word, and there's a 0.05 that you have a question about. Yeah. We hope you agree 100% with God's word. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. And that's really the battle. That's really the battle. And eventually people have to make this choice. Do I agree with society? Do I agree with the status quo? Do I agree with the majority? Actually, which is not the majority, but it's made to feel like the majority. It's really not the majority. It's very interesting the way media is used and there's a big, the voices are very loud because also has to do with celebrities and now Twitter and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. That the voices of certain minorities are very predominant. Yeah, that's the society we're in. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is about you. Do you agree with God's word? Amen. Say amen to God's word. Amen. There is an onslaught against this book. Against this book. And our faith is derived from this book. Our faith. Faith comes from the word of God. Amen. The more you're in the word, the more faith you will have. That's the way it works. But if you have a doubt about this book, then you're on shaky ground. And from the beginning, and actually this is one of the lessons, from the beginning, Satan's way is to cause man to doubt God's word. If he can make you doubt God's word, he's got you already. You're already in the fall. So in chapter 3, Genesis 3, Satan, what's the first thing he says? Has God said? It's the first speaking of Satan in the Bible is a putting in a doubting about God's word. It's a subtle attack against believing God's word. Then it's an attack on God's heart. That God is not for you. That God is not for you. But the first thing is God's word. So I hope we're clear about this. Okay, here on this simple outline, session 2, we have 6 crucial points to try to help the young people concerning the Bible. And these are kind of 6 points that even though we will cover this, I believe, in the first session, this is really material for the entire truth school. And you can come back to these talking points. These are points that you can come back to reinforce later on. Let's go through quickly. Okay, number 1. The Bible is God's personal letter to us.
His children, our Father, only tells us the things related to us.
Brothers and then sisters, A, B. Brothers, A.
God tells us all the things that are related to us and profitable to us. Whatever is not related to us, He does not tell us.
Sisters. So a very basic point here is God does not tell us everything in the Bible. There are some things, somehow Christians develop a kind of a, I had this at one time, that yeah, the Bible tells you everything. No, the Bible doesn't tell you everything. The Bible is very, in a sense, very specific, even though there's a lot of pages, it's a big book, but it's very specific. It's got a certain burden, and that is, it just tells us what we need to know. So then there are questions that come up that it's hard to answer. And you know, we had some of these questions like you know, what happens to babies when they die? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? Or where does, what's the wife? Cain's wife. Where's Cain's wife? Then I hope you don't go, oh yeah, yeah. Now you have a. So there's some things that the Bible just, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, but the Bible tells us what pertains to us. Where does Satan come from? Actually, you might say, oh no, there's a life study on that. I know, number two, it's not everything. Even you know that. About, what is it, Isaiah 14? Ezekiel 28? Yeah. I mix up the, I know it's Ezekiel, I know it's Isaiah, it's 14 and 28. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Yes, you know, we know he was an angel, and archangel even, and so on. But if you get into it, still there's question. How could still that happen? How could that rise up? Yeah, it doesn't say. The important thing is to know there is Satan. The Bible says, there is a Satan, stay away from him. And then build a church and defeat him. That we know. That part we know. So we know how he ends. You really don't know everything about how he begins. But why? Because it's not important. It really is not that important. What's important, the task at hand is to build the church, defeat him, and end him. Amen. Then we can ask God later, but how did it happen? There's many things we don't know. And don't feel like you're less qualified to be a serving one because you admitted, I don't know. Sometimes the young people, this has happened, they ask this question, they ask another question, and then you come to a question and say, yeah, I don't know. They're like, oh, okay. You know, they just wanted to know if you knew. You don't know? Oh. They might even say, oh, you don't know? Oh, then again, I'm probably never going to get the answer. So anyway, they drop it. So just admit it. Admit you don't know. Amen. Point two. The Bible is a divine spiritual book, a book of life. Yeah, then here, so in the Bible, there's many topics like science, philosophy, history, literature, ethics, law. But the Bible is not a book of any of these things. The Bible is a book of life. Then we have some examples here. Science, Bible contains science, contains history, contains prophecies, but it's not a book of these things. Actually, the Bible is just really a book of life. Amen. Trying to point us to Christ. Trying to point us to Christ. So you know, there's some interesting things here in Isaiah and Job about the circle, you know, these verses about the circle of the earth. And a long time ago, God told us the earth is round. How could people think that the earth was flat? It's because they didn't read the Bible. Right? The whole thing with, you know, Columbus and, the whole, you know, they I don't know how much time they wasted. They should just read the Bible and then you learn. Oh, it's round. I'm not going to fall off at the end. So, anyway, and there's other things about the stars and all that. Very interesting. This is just for your reference. Of course, the Bible has a lot of history. All the history is to point to Christ. All the history. Of course, here the example is Matthew 1. Oh, it's amazing. Matthew 1. When I first started to read the Bible, oh, I didn't like those verses. Matthew 1, you know, new ones, when we tell them, oh, you should read the Bible. Usually what do we tell them to start? John. Yeah. I never told a new one, start with Matthew 1. Because, oh, I'm afraid. Oh, by verse 15, they say, oh, I don't like this book. It's too hard. I don't even know how to pronounce all these names. But once you know, oh my, 42 generations. 14, 14, 14. Leading what? To Christ. The first name is Christ. In the Bible, the first name is Christ. The last, in the New Testament, the last name is Christ. And then five women. And, oh, these five women. make you'd read the you, if you go back and look at the stories, those five women in the Bible, it just makes you love the Lord so much. What mercy. What mercy. Just those five names. And then there's some generations skipped. Now, what is that all about? Seems like a discrepancy. It talks about it later. Seems like a discrepancy. But then when you learn the principle and you go back and read, you find, oh, Lord, you're so merciful. And you also find out, oh, my, you can lose time. Imagine being a generation that skipped in the genealogy of Christ. Like you don't count. Your life doesn't count. Your whole generation doesn't count because you weren't for Christ. But if you're for Christ, you count. Wow, there's so many lessons there. It's basically a book of life teaching us spiritual lessons. Spiritual lessons. In B, it talks about discrepancies, but it says in every case, there is a deep spiritual lesson conveyed in the apparent discrepancies. Yeah, because people, they study the Bible. They study as literature. Some people study the Bible to what? Counter the Bible. You know that, right? Some people study just to show you, ha-ha, and then they bring up things you're like, you didn't know. Like, you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Trying to kind of beat you down. Just say, oh, I didn't know that. Let me study a little more. I'll come back to you. Then you go back, you realize, oh, it's a discrepancy to show Christ, to show a spiritual lesson. But it's hard to describe that to some people. It's hard to describe that. Anyway, okay, point three, precious. The four crucial elements of the Bible are Christ,
the Spirit, life, and the church.
When we read the Bible, we should look for these four things. Every story, look for these four things. Genesis 1, people think it's a history of the universe. Actually not. Actually not. It's too many holes, too many questions. If that's all you're using to counter evolution, and Christians, you know, try to do this. And in some places it's taught the theory of evolution and the theory of creationism. And they're using these verses in Genesis. There's too many holes there. But when you see it from the standpoint of life, the development of life, through the 6 days, actually, Genesis 1 is our biography as a Christian. But I'm not going to get into that. The life study, the notes even will in our recovery version, help us to know that. And okay, what does it say here? Christ, Spirit, life, church. Okay, even in Genesis, on the third day, what happens? The land comes out of the water. Why isn't it the fourth day? Why isn't it the second day? It's the third day. And then what happens with the third day? What's the big third day in the New Testament? It's the day of resurrection. It shows. Christ. That Genesis 1 is pointing to Christ. Amen. Then Genesis 2. Adam, sleep, rib, open, out, woman, built. It's the church. Yeah, I mean, when you put it all together, Genesis 1 and 2 are just pointing to Christ and the church. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Like, oh, it's too clear. And you can't believe it's there. I still remember the first time I read The Glorious Church, Brother Nee's exposition on Genesis 2. I was like, I can't believe this. I was in my living room. I can't believe this. I said, I want to write a tract just on this. I want to shout this like it's a vision from Genesis 2. I read Genesis 2 before. I just thought it's, yeah, creation. Oh, it's interesting. Man is made this way, woman is made that way. But when you see this, that everything points to Christ, the Spirit, life, the church, everything can become alive. Everything. Even the genealogies. Leviticus, we used to have such a hard time reading Leviticus. I mean, my Bible reading, you read Genesis, stories. It has some genealogies, but, you know, you get through it, stories. Exodus up to chapter 19, stories. Oh, Exodus 20. Okay, Ten Commandments. It's good to memorize that. But then it gets, oh, did you ever slow down in Exodus 20, 21, 23? And then Leviticus, oh, oh. Then Deuteronomy repeats some of the stories, and but still repeats some of the law. So, then, yeah. Anyway, Numbers is good though, right? Numbers. Numbers has some interesting stuff. People die, earth opens. That's all good. But Deuteronomy is just slowed down again. Then Judges picks up. Judges is fun. Joshua, sorry, getting into the land. Joshua is good with the getting in the land. And then Judges, very interesting. All the, yeah. But everything points to Christ. I think I've mentioned this story before. I remember reading Exodus 23. It says, "You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk." I read that the first time. I was like, ugh. I thought, why is such a verse worthy to be in the Bible? It's just like, ugh. And I read that, must have read it about four times in my Bible reading. And then one day I was living in Anaheim at the time. I went to a ministry meeting. Brother Lee sharing on Exodus 23. I couldn't believe it. That's what it means. I said, every serving one must know this verse. Do not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Then you're a good serving one. Amen. Okay, number four. The Bible changes people inwardly. No other book has had such a positive effect on people
or is able to change people subjectively as the Bible.
This point, we hope that eventually all our people, all our young people, all our older people, all our people would be able to have the experience of this, that you're changed because of the Bible. And not because you're imitating the Bible. The Bible says this, so I have to do this. No, but through the Bible, you were infused with the person, with the life. And that became the living word, like John 6:63. The word becomes spirit and life. And that changed you. Maybe you used to curse. And a word comes that you read. How can a fountain have bitter water and sweet? That's the book of James. How can the same fountain have bitter water and sweet? The Lord speaks to you. Oh Lord, how can you with the same mouth worship God and curse man? And that affects you. It's not just that, oh yeah, I have to live by this word. But as the curse is about to come out of your mouth, you, something in you, bitter water, oh Lord. And you, right there, have that experience. And in many things, you're affected in a spontaneous way because the words became spirit and life. We want everyone to have this experience. And so, when people are challenged, you may say, you know, I can't answer all your questions, but I can tell you this. The Bible has changed my life. I experienced this. And that's all. You just tell them your experience. But we want our young people to have experiences that they can convey. Okay, point five. The Bible has passed the test of time. It has never been revised, updated, or corrected. Faith in the Bible,
and never doubt the Bible.
And we will present, there's a lesson on the Bible through the times, through the ages. Yes, we have different translations. We have better translations. But the Bible itself is the Bible. That's just the renderings in the human language to improve our understanding. That changes. That gets updated. And we have actually a lesson on the recovery version, on translations of the Bible. We'll have a lesson on that. But basically, the Word of God is the Word of God. What was written there in Aramaic, in Hebrew, and Aramaic, in Greek, that's God's word. That doesn't change. That doesn't change. Other writings have to be updated, particularly some of the, like the Mormon Bible, had to be updated. It was too outrageous, some of the things. Had to be updated. The Bible has never been updated. But we should have faith in the Bible. Then finally, we need to read the whole Bible. Every verse in the Bible needs the whole Bible to interpret it and understand it in full. So we should have a view of the entire Bible. We hope to give that in seed form into our young people. I'll finish with this. Saints, please realize, maybe more than in any other true school, I would say the last two, the church, the Bible. There's a great warfare, a great battle that we enter into when we try to present these matters to our young people. This is a great battle concerning the church and concerning the Bible. If we could have a success in this, that more of the young people would just say amen to the Bible, would read the Bible, agree with the Bible, join themselves to the word in the Bible, live the Bible, oh, I tell you, the enemy would be greatly defeated, pushed back in this age. Amen. Through that, they become the light of the world and the salt of the earth, through their acceptance of the word of God. So this is a great battle and requires very much our prayer, more intensely than even the other times. Okay.
And I think these two sessions has been very helpful, right? And let me go back to the last session for a minute. Last session, we are very impressed that when we serve in one serve, we need to have a burden, right? Yes. And that we should not just serve. It's better to come, of course. But if we just come and fulfill our duty, that's not satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Not satisfaction to the Lord and not satisfaction to us. So I think this can prepare us, you know, when we come in August, that we should come with the burden. And when we're singing the hymn, a brother called 904, there was one line I was touched, and that is in verse 1, concerning we dwell with the King for his work, you know, serving young people is a work. Then the next sentence is, his burden we willingly bear. So in fact, the burden is not I have a burden, but the burden is his. So we should enter into his burden. What's his burden? Our brother mentioned in the 1 Timothy 2:4. You know, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And his burden is all the young people, you know, especially if our brother just went over the second session with us. Today, the Bible is being attacked. And our young people are being attacked. It's all because of the Bible. So we need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Then, when we talk to people, and then we have the full assurance, because there is the inward conviction that when we speak to people. I just want to mention a few things concerning the importance of the Bible, or you know, this summer school of truth. That is, you know, the first point concerning God is God's personal letter to us. You know, sometimes I text my kids. Every time I text them, I'm full of feeling. I don't know whether they have feeling or not. But it's the same with the Bible. When God wrote to us, he is full of feeling. That's why we need not just to read the word with our eyes, but we need to read it with feeling. How can you have feeling? Of course, some other words in the Word, in the Bible really touch us. But sometimes you just read it. It seems like, you know, there's a, you know, you just went through the reading. So this is concerning that God's gift to us is firstly the invisible aspect, the Spirit. And the visible aspect is His written Word. So we need to read the Word on one hand, but on the other hand, we need to pray. And so the words will be Spirit and life to us. Amen. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, concerning the Memorial Day weekend conference, that we need to experience the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we need to enter into the experience of the Lord. In fact, it's just experience the living Christ. Right. And the living Christ is a living person. Amen. And He is full of feeling. Right. And He's full of His thinking and His decision, His mind, His will, and also, you know, His mind, emotion, and will, His heart, and His spirit, and His, of course, God is spirit. Amen. God is not soul. We human beings, we are living souls. But the function of the soul, God, when He made man, and man has it, and God has it. That's why, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, I just want to mention this, that to get into this subject concerning the Bible is so crucial. Our brother also mentioned that all the previous lessons or the subjects are foundation based on God's Word. That's why we need to come back, you know, all the subjects concerning salvation, triune God, the person and work of Christ, the two spirits, the divine spirit, human spirit, and the life, the divine life. Of course, we have human life, but human life is just a vessel to contain the divine life. And also the church. You know, all the previous four subjects are for the church. That's why our brother mentioned the church and the Bible, these are what the enemy attacked the most. Because the church eventually will fulfill God's purpose and end Satan. Mm-hmm. Will defeat Satan, and the church will exercise God's authority. And eventually, Satan's ending will be in the lake of fire. So we see all the previous four subjects are for number five concerning the church. Then, including the church, everything previously covered is based on the Bible. That's why the Bible is so crucial that for us to get into it for, you know, for this year. I hope we are. I think I'm learning too. You know, I went through a couple of times. But I'm still learning because the Bible is God's Word to us. Amen. And we need to come back to the Word. Amen. Again and again. Again, I'm very impressed, you know. Satan, of course, he attacks man. But when God became a man, Satan attacked the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. But the Lord defeated him in every time when the enemy comes with a question. And the reason is, the Lord Jesus, He was in God's Word. John's epistle in 1 John, and he mentioned, young man, you are strong. You have defeated the enemy because of God's Word. Amen. God's Word dwell in you. Amen. So we need to help our young one to encounter the changing world, in the changing society, and the trend of this world. The way is through the Word. So we need to really dive into the Word. You know, even my own testimony, you know, the dark age our brother mentioned is because the Bible was locked up, you know. So people cannot read. Only the priest. Last year was the 500th anniversary of the Martin Luther when he posted, you know, the 95? Yeah. Items that concerning the Catholic Church, they are not according to the Word. In fact, Martin Luther originally was not trying to kind of against the Catholic Church, was trying to help. But eventually, you know, they tried to kill him. That was because of God's Word. That Martin Luther read God's Word, so he can rise up, you know. Today, we need to read God's Word. Amen. And to be constituted with God's Word. Amen. Then when things happen, people have questions, we have God's Word as the base. Amen. So let me just come back to my little testimony. Of course, today, the Catholic Church also asking their members, you know, to read. But most of them, they still believe what the Pope says, it counts. So they don't read the Word that much. Maybe some read the Word. Before I got saved, I had a friend, and he always invited me to his home. And what the Catholic priest taught my friend was to memorize. It's called the questions and answers of the crucial truth. That was I was kind of entering into it with my friend. So we see that today, you know, the Catholic Church, they also try to, you know, help some of them. I think especially the young ones, but the Catholic Church has you know, items which is not according to the Word, you know, concerning Mary. They think Mary is the mother of God. It seems, you know, if we don't know the truth, we will say, that's right, Mary is the mother of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God, right? So Mary is the mother of Jesus. But Mary is the mother of Jesus only in his humanity. In the Lord's divinity, the Lord is the Savior of Mary. So we need to see, you know, learn the truth. Otherwise, our young one can be carried away, you know, by the Catholic teachings. So I just feel that it's very crucial for us to learn the truth. Amen. Okay, that's my first stage in contacting the Christianity. The second stage was when I was a little older. Then there was activities in the Church of the Nazarene, you know. And the one they teach the Bible is very attractive. It's a missionary from China and speak with the accent of Brother Lee's province. And if you close your eyes, you will think that's Chinese. And he is very good in the Word, in Genesis. I was very attracted. He was a missionary. He taught the, he was doing the, you know, Bible study. But eventually, I'm very thankful I was saved in the church. Praise the Lord for the church.
Amen.
Then, you know, all the truths, when I start, you know, when, you know, my concept concerning the church was the Catholic Church, you know. Then was the Church of the Nazarene. Church of Nazarene. Both of, you know, of course, Catholic is taller. And the Church of Nazarene, there is also pretty good. But when I got saved in the church, it was in a small alley. And it was kind of a regular house, you know. But through the truth, I eventually learned that the church are not the buildings. Amen. The church are the gathering of the called out ones. But of course, the church has much higher definitions. Of course, now we cover the church is the body of Christ. So all this shows that I'm standing here, I really thank the Lord. I can be in the Catholic Church and today, you know, still attending the Mass, you know. And I can be in the denominations and still, you know, join all the activities. Activities are attractive to the young people. The truth, to a certain degree, is very good in the with the brethren, because it's the brethren section. But thank the Lord, I'm here. And we are learning to have the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
So I really treasure the opening of the Word and our learning the truth. And learning the truth is not just learning the doctrines. Our brother mentioned that the truth, in fact, is the reality. And in fact, it's the reality of the triune God,
Amen.
Making God real to us so we can enjoy this God.
Amen.
So we just pray that this summer school of truth, that we all can dive into the Word, dive into the Bible, dive into the reality,
Amen.
Enjoying God as life to us.
Amen.
And enjoy a time that we're all learning to minister together. But not just what we learn, you know. To read the Bible, we need to have the understanding, but we also need the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit. Only the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
So we need to, I just want to share this with you. And so may the Lord bless this summer school of truth.
Amen.
And we ourselves can learn, and we ourselves can receive life. And we ourselves also can be channels of life.
Amen.
To minister to the young ones. So they will be attracted, not just to the opening of the Word, but also to the living person of Christ.
Amen.
And enjoy this very Christ, this very triune God, they are life to us. And they are so real to us.
Amen.
And they are our experience and our enjoyment.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.